Hello and welcome back. Today I'm chatting with a nurse who actually wants to quit her career and sell crap on eBay for a living.
Hey, I'm Carboot Chris. I'm a full-time UK online reseller. I operate mainly on eBay and also Whatnot, but also some other platforms as well. I'm going to bring you regular podcasts all about reselling, hopefully to keep you company, to entertain, or maybe to educate. Who knows? Welcome to the Everything Reselling Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. We've got another episode for you. It's Series 2, Episode 7. Welcome back. Just to give you a bit of an intro to myself, because I don't always do this, but I'm Carboot Chris, and I'm a full-time reseller, also a YouTuber, and yeah, I'm on all the socials if you want to look me up, pretty much everywhere. And I've just started on a new, this new app. I've never, you know, really got into it before. It's an up-and-coming one called TikTok. Never heard of it. But yeah, so you can look me up there if you like as well. Today, we are talking to a nurse, as I said in the intro, and I did ham it up a bit on the intro. I do apologize. It's just a bit of fun. Yeah, she wants to be a reseller. So we're going to bring on Sophie. Here we go. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for taking the time to come on. So, do you want to give yourself a bit of an intro?
Yeah, so I'm Sophie. My shop is SB Reselling Co. You can find me on Instagram, SB Reselling Co. 22, Facebook, SB Reselling Co. And YouTube as well, SB Reselling Co. So basically, I'm a nurse. I've been qualified for about 13 years. I've worked for the NHS since 2006. And reselling for me was a bit of a side hustle to start with, just to try and get some extra pennies, instead of, you know, doing extra shifts at work all the time. But then I just really kind of got the buzz. Like when I started getting sales, I was like, oh, this is fun. And just sort of really got the buzz for it. And now I would like to be able to be a full-time reseller.
Well, so, it's yeah. it's a big thing because you've been a nurse since 2006, did you say then?
Yeah, so I started as a healthcare assistant when I was 17, and then I did my training when I was 19. So I went kind of straight from school, really.
Right.
And then I've been qualified. 2011, I qualified. So about, 13 years or so I've been qualified for. So it's kind of like all I've ever done with my life, really.
Because you're only young. You know, 2006 and you just come out of school, I mean.
Yeah, and I'm 35 now. And I never thought I'd ever be a nurse. It never crossed my mind. I just sort of fell into it. And whilst I've, you know, enjoyed my time, had a good career, what I always really wanted to do was have my own business. And I found something that I enjoy doing. And I kind of think, you know, life's too short.
Yeah.
To just do, you know, one thing your whole life. And I kind of feel like if I don't follow what I always really wanted to do, that I'd regret it, sort of thing. So,
yeah. What kind of nurse are you at the minute? What do you specialise in an area or what?
No, I'm a general nurse.
What, like A&E or something like that?
Yeah, so I've done lots of things. I was an A&E nurse for about 8 years. I used to be an A&E sister as well. I've worked in cardiology. I've worked in respiratory. I was a ward sister during the pandemic as well. I've done general surgery. Like I've kind of done
a bit. I mean, you've done A&E. I mean, A&E is like the Wild West, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty mad. And I used to be Amy's sister at Gloucester. And I also went to a hospital in London, and I was an A&E sister there as well. London was like pretty crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So I've kind of been around the block a bit, really, and done a bit of everything. So
what? How did you first find reselling then? Because if you've been like a nurse for, you know, 13 plus years or whatever it is. How do you even find reselling?
Well, as I kind of said, I've always been interested in business. I've always wanted to have my own business, but I never really knew what. So I tried a few things before this. I tried a bit of print on demand, didn't really work. I tried a bit of drop shipping, didn't really work. I actually had my own first aid training company for a little while as well.
Okay.
I had McDonald's as a client.
Bloody hell.
I used to train a lot of the McDonald's staff, do their first aid, because without doing their first aid, they can't go on to become managers.
Yeah.
And I did that for a couple of years, but I just kind of got bored of teaching, to be honest. It was just like, you know, the same stuff. Every time. And I didn't really like enjoy it that much, just doing the same each time.
Yeah.
This is how you do a bandage. This is how you do chest compressions. Here's how you use a defibrillator, you know. And it was fun, but it was just repetitive. And I was a bit like, oh, I don't really like this. And then after trying other things, I then thought, well, I'm just going to take it really back to basics, stop trying to reinvent the wheel or look for the next best thing that everyone's going to jump on.
Yeah.
And just do eBay, really. So I literally started with a couple of things around the house, sold those. Then I ventured into charity shops, just picked up one or two bits. And I said to myself, I'm not going to let myself have more than two bags under the table.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, that was never going to end well, that. Come on.
Yeah, and now my flat is like a warehouse. and you're in a flat as well,
which makes it even harder, doesn't it?
What's that, Chris, sorry?
You're in a flat, so it does make it a bit harder, storage-wise.
Yeah, it does. I've pretty much, like, lost my flat to, like, boxes and things. I'd like to be able to get a storage unit, but I just can't sort of do the overhead.
Yeah.
Because I would like to get my flat back. I tend to just not look to the left. Look to the right.
Your flat is, what kind of layout is it? How many rooms, how many bedrooms has it got?
It's a one-bedroom flat. So it's a joint, like, kitchen and living room. My kitchen's, like, tiny. The living room is pretty small, really. It is just, like, a small, dingy old flat.
So how did you, like, you say you just decided to start selling eBay, but was there some kind of something, you know, did you, like a lot of people, find stuff on YouTube and then go from there, or did some, you know, did you speak to somebody, or how did it start?
As I was kind of YouTubing things about, you know, drop shipping and stuff like that.
Right.
I sort of found people who were selling on eBay. And I just sort of started watching videos, and then I kind of listed the stuff around my flat, really.
Yeah. It's a good way to start, sell your own stuff and sort of gain your confidence, build your feedback up, and learn about postage and packing. And that's a good way to start. So at the moment you are sort of part-time reseller, and are you part-time nurse at the moment or full-time nurse?
I'm on the bank at the moment. So what I do is almost like a supply teacher, I guess. Like I cover the gaps. So when people go on holiday, sickness, maternity, whatever, I cover the gaps. But the shifts are just really slim at the moment. So I should be working full time, but I'm kind of working part time at the moment.
I'm surprised the shifts are slim. I mean, aren't they crying out for nurses, and aren't they desperate?
Yeah, I mean, they've brought over a lot of overseas nurses to kind of plug the gaps. So that's kind of like what they've done, really. So yeah, it's a bit slim at the moment, but it'll probably pick up.
So you want to actually completely quit being a nurse and go full-time reseller?
Yeah.
Why not just do like part and part?
As I've said, like, I've always wanted to do business, and I want to do it like just properly, really. Just
okay. You want to like just give it your everything, yeah, and not have distractions and stuff.
Yeah, because it's just what I've always wanted to do in life, and I'm kind of feel like I'm ready to take that plunge. Like, you know, I'm 35 now, and I've got no dependents, and I'm certainly not getting any younger. And I know that, you know, anything can happen throughout my, you know, time as a nurse. You know, you see the best of things, but you also see the worst of things.
Yeah.
And then I just think, just do it.
Yeah. You only live once, don't you?
You only live once.
Here's a question for you then, Sophie. If you quit, does your like nursing qualification stay active, or do you lose it after a time?
Yeah, so I've got my degree, which is my qualification, so I'd always have that. My registration would become inactive with the NMC, so I wouldn't be able to practice anymore. But I think if it's within like a year, maybe something like that, you can just resubmit for your registration again. Otherwise, if it's longer than that, you just have to do like a return to practice course.
Like a refresher course or something.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because I would imagine, cause, I mean, having been a police officer and, you know, how de-skilled you get very quickly if you're not like doing certain jobs, I would imagine it's the same with nursing and doctors. Like if you're not doing that day in, day out and keeping up to date with training and techniques and stuff, you're going to de-skill within a matter of weeks, aren't you?
Yeah. It's, I mean, healthcare is like fashion, really, like things coming in out of fashion all the time. There's stuff that, you know, you used to do years ago that you just wouldn't do now. And then they kind of, those methods kind of swing round again and then go back out of fashion again.
Yeah, I get it. It was the same for us, you know, because if you're not like a frontline police officer, like if you're a frontline police officer, which every police officer is essentially, but then you go and specialise in an area and you're no longer frontline for a while, you de-skill really fast. Like if suddenly, and they can do, like in the cops, they can suddenly say, right, tomorrow you're back on the front line tomorrow because we haven't got enough staff.
Yeah.
Like, shit, I've not done that for a year.
Yeah.
What the fuck do I do? You know?
Yeah.
You've de-skilled. It's very, very stressful.
Being
put in a situation where you actually aren't sure, you know, and even probably even worse for nursing because it's medical stuff, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like, it is kind of like riding a bike, you know, you do kind of find your feet again, you know, quite quickly. But it's like when, because I don't do A&E that often now, but when I do go to A&E, and if I'm in triage, so I'll be like the first person you see, and I'll either try and treat you and send you away, send you to your GP or let you in, kind of thing. But yeah, like there's always new places to like send people off to or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, well, why haven't you sent them here? And I'm like, because I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I can imagine it changes all the time.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh no, you don't need to do that there now. You know, you send them over here. And I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah.
There's a couple of questions or comments in the live chat here on YouTube, because we're live on YouTube at the moment. The legend says, how does it work in a one bed? Do you use the living room as a bedroom with something like a sofa bed and use the bedroom for stock? How's it laid out, or is it just haphazard?
No, I do actually have like a bedroom. So my flat, it's basically like an old kind of like Victorian house that's been split into three.
Oh, flats. Okay.
So I've got like what would have been like the top floor of a house kind of thing. So I've got one bedroom, Well, you go straight up a flight of stairs as if you would have done going upstairs in a house. And then I got one bedroom, one little bathroom, and then the living room and the kitchen. So this is all like the living room here. And then the kitchen is literally just like that. Yeah.
So that's all a challenge, my stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, all my stuff I keep on that back wall. I keep it in boxes so I can just pile it up.
Yeah.
Try and keep it.
You got to make the most of your space, haven't you? So if you can, if you can stack them, pack them, and rack them.
Yeah, that's basically what I do. Because I did kind of just have them. I did have them here, but I didn't really like it. So I thought I might as well just use that wall, and then I'll just. It'll probably end up as high as the bloody ceiling. I'll probably need a ladder to get up there, to be honest.
Oh well, if that's what you got to do. It's better than paying for storage if you can hold off paying for storage for as long as possible. But because also you've got to be confident in your income and costs if you're going to start paying for storage. So let's just move on to sort of eBay and reselling and stuff. What kind of stuff do you sell at the minute, and where do you sell it?
So I started with clothes because. Obviously, when I started, I was just emptying out bits from my wardrobe. So I started with clothes and I've kind of stuck with that. But I do also like selling video games, consoles. Le Creuset, I like to try and get my hands on and sell. So I always find that's a really good, quick flipper for me as well. I don't really do breakables and ceramics because I just can't be bothered with all like, the packing of it. And
yeah, fair enough.
And quite often, when I did do it, I did do the odd bits. They all arrived broken still, even though I thought I packed it really well. So I just sacked it off. I was like, no, can't bother with that.
It's also more challenging to store at home as well, because you'd have to either wrap it carefully in boxes or put it on shelving. It takes up more room.
Yeah.
So you've got to think about how your storage is going and stuff as well. And clothing is probably the easiest thing to deal with.
Yeah. And I do enjoy selling clothing, and I do trainers as well. I've sold off a lot of my own Pokemon cards because I collect Pokemon cards anyway. I've done it on and off for like years. So I had loads under my bed. So I've kind of sold off a lot of those anyway. But yeah, that's kind of like my main stuff, really. I'll do most things apart from just breakable stuff.
So whereabouts do you sell? What platforms are you using at the moment?
I use eBay. I do use the platform that shouldn't be named.
Oh, okay, the one with a V.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that like shouldn't be named. And I also use Whatnot. I was using Depop, but... Depop was just getting too much hassle than it was worth, mainly because I was listing things on there and just only ever getting a sale once in a blue moon, and I just couldn't get on with it, really. So
I think that's going the same way for a lot of people, Depop at the moment. It just seems to be dying a death.
I don't know whether it's since Etsy bought it.
Yeah.
Because Etsy is also very difficult to get sales on. Because that was another one of my many little ventures was I bought the rights to ebooks, like the I think it was called PLR or something like that.
Okay. And
it came basically with the text, the cover, everything, and you just bought the rights to it, and you could change it if you wanted. So I started like a digital ebook store on Etsy, and no one bought anything.
Right. Oh well, you got to try these things, you know. You never know, you could hit the next big thing.
Yeah, but there's loads of like, you know, websites like that where they offer like loads of like ebooks, and you just buy the rights to it, so then you can kind of do what you want. It's only like £1, £2, something like that.
Yeah.
You can change up the cover of it, you can change the text.
What if loads of people buy that the same thing?
Well, that's it. Yeah, that's probably.
Everyone's got the same ebook.
Yeah. Mm. So I suppose you've got to try and make it look a bit like something.
Like rebrand it to yourself.
Yeah. But yeah, I did try that one.
Where do you source from?
When what, sorry?
Where do you source from? Where do you buy stuff?
I was mainly buying from charity shops. However, I've kind of stopped that now, mainly because it's just got too expensive, really.
Yeah.
I do actually buy a lot on Vinted and resell it. Yeah. I get an awful lot. Like, my neighbour, I've now started just getting it delivered to, like, the InPost lockers because I felt sorry for him because he was constantly taking, like, parcels for me because it was just stuff from Vinted, like, every day arriving. I do get a little bit of wholesale when I can.
Mm.
Car boots, and just from like friends and family as well. Like, I'll tell them what I'm doing, and sometimes they'll give you something or they'll want a few quid for it or, you know, whatever. But just wherever I can, really.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you're enjoying it so far. Don't forget to subscribe. And also, we're over on YouTube, Cookie and the Haydens, or just search Car Boot Chris on YouTube or Instagram too. Join me there as well. In the meantime, let's get back to it.
Yeah, fair enough. Do your family ever give you stuff and sort of like on a consignment basis and sort of say, let's go 50-50 or something like that?
No, my mum wouldn't do that. Yeah. I've had quite a lot off my mum and she just gives
it. She just give it,
yeah. Yeah. My mum's got like a massive shoe thing. Like, she always has. I can remember even growing up, like, you'd open the wardrobe and it was just boxes and boxes and boxes of shoes. And then she's still like it now. So I've had like boxed Uggs off her, I've had like boxed Keith Scarrett shoes, like, and she'll just go out and buy a few more pairs and then be like, oh, I don't wear it.
if you can get a cast off and sell them on.
Yeah, right. She always keeps the boxes for like everything, so you get them in a nice condition.
Moving on then, when do you think have you got something, it's hard to ask this question, but have you got like a point in your mind when you think is going to be the right time to say quit your job, full-time reseller?
I'd like to get a good amount of money up behind me as well, because I know that there's going to be a lot of rainy days. Like,
yeah, you definitely need to do that.
eBay has been absolutely awful for me this week. And recently I found myself on the eBay for Business chat about once a week for a month with different issues, like the photos won't upload. Oh, I can't send an offer. Oh, I've got an error screen. And I don't know if it's just because I mainly use my phone, but I've always got a problem. So, I need like a good kind of nest egg up behind me.
How much are you thinking that you need?
I think really probably 10 to 15 grand, to be honest. So once I've got enough up behind me, or if I don't quite have that money, but I'm consistently doing, say, 400 odd quid a week, something like that, perhaps.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that'll be time.
Have you got a time scale in mind? Are you thinking, I want to be there by such a date, or?
I have to admit, I thought I'd be there now because I started in 2022 in the January.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought I'd be there now, but I'm totally not. Okay. So as much as I'm like, oh, yeah, by the end of the year,
it
may not happen.
Why are you not there, do you think?
I think because of work. It's just hard to list every day, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting the sales, you then don't have the money to put back in to buy more stock.
It's a vicious circle, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's time plus, which then will affect your sales, which then affects obviously the money you've got to put back in. So, yeah, I don't know. And I don't know whether it's because I predominantly sell clothing. I don't know whether that's a factor in it as well. But yeah, I'm not really sure other than those things.
It's tricky. It's definitely tricky, a tricky thing to gauge. It's like it is a vicious circle. And if you don't give your reselling enough time, then it will never grow to what you want it to be.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in order to give it that time, you've got to drop time as a nurse.
Yeah.
And then that means dropping time where you can earn some money to pay your bills. So I don't know, you know, have you thought about sort of taking some paid holiday? Do you get paid holiday as a bank?
No. And I don't get sick pay either.
You don't get sick pay either. Well, at least you're well prepared for being self-employed.
Yeah. Yeah. It is like being a self-employed nurse, really.
Right.
I pick and choose where I go. Sometimes I pick the times. I pick and choose which hospital. So, yeah, it is like being a self-employed nurse.
I was going to suggest, you know, you take a couple of weeks off and absolutely hammer your reselling, being a, you know, having a paid time off. But if you're not got paid time off, that's difficult.
Yeah, no, what I'd have to do is just like work loads to save to get the money that I would have missed, because I get paid weekly as well.
Yeah.
So I'd have to just get the money that I'd have missed, and then I can have 2 weeks off. Like, that's not the problem. I'll just have to save to be able to have those 2 weeks off.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
But yeah, it is just like a bit of a circle, really. So yeah. I don't know. But you know, you've got to keep plugging away at it.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
It's very hard. Does it worry you? Quitting nursing, does it worry you a bit? You know, that going into reselling, it's very unpredictable. You know that. You've seen it in your part-time. It's very unpredictable. And it's not so bad. I had written down here, pensions, sick pay, holidays, but you know, some of that doesn't apply to you anyway, so that's not so bad. But to some people, that's a big shock, you know, that all of a sudden you can't bloody have a sick day, really.
I've got, I've actually got quite a good pension with the NHS anyway. And I've obviously been putting into it since I was 17.
Yeah.
So I've never not put into it. So, well, I've got two, actually. I've got one from being on contractors, you know, full-time work, and one started from being on the bank as well. So I've actually got two. So pension, I'm not too worried about. And because I started when I was young, I'm on like an old scheme, which is quite a good one. They like kind of change the scheme, put a new one out.
They change them over time, don't they, until they basically become worthless.
Yeah. So then but I'm on like an old one, which means I could retire at 55. So rather than the newer one, well, you're never retiring, basically.
But
so I'm not too worried about that. And I'm used to, you know, not having holiday and sick, you know, that kind of thing. But then, you know, I get to pick and choose what I do. There's pros and cons, you know.
There's definitely bonuses to it.
Yeah, and I get paid more now than when I was substantive staff because of the way I work. So,
did you get paid more as a bank staff member because it's last minute shifts and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I get paid more hourly. So, I get paid more on the bank than I did when I was working as a sister, so it's nice that, you know, I get less stress. I can just walk in, walk out, and you know, you don't take anything home with you.
So what do your family think about all this, because maybe they've got some opinions about, oh, you know, Sophie's got this career as a nurse and she's going to give it all up?
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step-by-step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
I've been on about that for years. It's no surprise.
are they bothered about it, or have you got any sort of adverse opinions?
Well, I think my mum is like a couple of times she's been like, "Oh, but it's such a waste." And I'm like, "Well,
yeah,
it's not."
That sounds about right.
I've, you know, been qualified for, you know, 13 years now. I've done almost 20 years, you know, with the NHS anyway. Like, you know, it's just time to do something else. And I can always go back to it, so it's not a waste.
Yes.
So I always try and tell her these things. And I think to start with, she thought she couldn't get her head around reselling, because she was like, well, why don't people just go to the shop themselves and buy it? And I was like, well, I don't know, maybe they just don't want too much. Like, she just couldn't understand.
Sophie froze on us.
Oh, you froze as well, Chris. Am I moving?
I think you froze on us, Sophie. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're there.
Oh, yeah, you were frozen as well. And I was doing this going, am I moving?
That's weird.
Am I moving?
But your mum's okay with it, essentially.
Yeah, she's all right with it now. Now that she's seen, like, some of the stuff that I've bought and what I've sold it for, then she's like, wow.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? You need to show the evidence sometimes for people to believe that it's actually a thing.
Yeah, she literally, like, couldn't get her head around it and just thought it was, like, mad. And she also couldn't get her head around why people were buying this stuff off me for, you know, more money. And she's like, well, why didn't they just go to the shop anyway? But, yeah, then now she's like, oh, wow, that's amazing.
So do you think in the next few months you'll put more into your reselling to try and
sort
of bring yourself up to speed a bit?
Definitely this year I have been putting more time into it, you know, anyway. And I have seen, you know, the fruits of my labour as well, you know, a couple of times. So I know that that's what it is. It's time. Just, you know, you just have to keep plugging away. Like today, you know, like I'm off today and tomorrow, so I'll just be listing as much as I can before I have to go back to work again. Then when I'm at work, obviously I can't list, so that would be, you know, doing sell similars.
Yeah.
You just have to.
The thing that I find with like listing and that, and it's dead important to do as much as you can and be consistent with it, but sometimes you don't reap the rewards of consistent listing until a week or two later.
Yeah.
So you could be listing really heavily this week, but eBay's really quiet, but then you'll get the benefit next week.
Yeah.
Or the week after, you know. Eventually you'll get the benefit of it, because essentially when you're listing is you're putting more stuff up for sale for people. You are presenting more items that people can buy. So, of course, you're going to reap the benefits at some point in the future. But sometimes it doesn't come immediately, unless, of course, you list a banger and it just goes straight away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for me, Le Creuset sells literally within 48 hours every
year,
and for good money. So I always try and get it if I can. But I do find that as well. I think really, like, if I do loads of listing today, which I will anyway, I think like the algorithm almost takes a couple of days really to see that, acknowledge that.
Definitely does.
It's not like, I've listed loads today, so now I'm going to get loads of offers.
It just doesn't happen like that. And you don't see those results straight away.
No, it just doesn't work like that.
And it's important to remember that, and because you can lose heart a little bit, you know, oh, I've been listing, I've done 20 items a day all week, and eBay's still shit.
Yeah. Well,
but next week you'll probably reap the benefits of that, or the week after.
Yeah, you know. It is.
There's a question in the YouTube chat from someone called Flea Market Jeff. he's talking about dumpster diving, and I was going to speak to you briefly about that, because you do a little bit of it, or you've taken part in dumpster diving.
Yeah, so I really wanted to try dumpster diving, but I was too scared to go on my own. So I met up with Lindsay and Alvin and went dumpster diving with them. And I kind of felt a little bit awkward to start with. I was a bit like, oh, this is a bit like weird. Mm. But then it was more like thinking about what people are thinking of seeing me in a bin. But then I kind of like got used to it and it was fine. And then I thought, I put out a dumpster diving video last week because I thought, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to try it by myself now.
Yeah.
I've been. But I kind of didn't realise how grossly unprepared I was. So
I was going to say, I've watched that video and I think you need to be a bit better prepared for the next one.
Because I forgot that I can't actually see over the top of the bin because I'm only 5 foot. So I need a little step to be able to actually like get in the bin. Didn't have any gloves. It started raining. And I really wasn't very prepared. But I did it.
Are you gonna try more in the future? Are you gonna do a bit more of that? Because at the end of the day, I guess, you know, free stock is the best.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking of going on Sunday, actually, on a nighttime one.
Ooh, be careful out there.
Yeah. Well, if anyone's got any sense, they won't mess with me anyway. But, yeah, I'm thinking of doing a nighttime one in the van and kind of, you know, a bit of stealth dumpster diving, hanging out in the van. But yeah,
drink and dive dumpster divers on YouTube have said you need your dumpster diving kit.
Yeah.
What's in a dumpster diving kit?
So it's like obviously a torch or a light. Alvin's got one like a magnetic one that he can stick on the bin, so he doesn't have to like hold it.
Yeah.
Gloves. Because obviously, like anything could be in the bin, like some good thick, like gardening.
You definitely need some quality gloves.
Yeah, and a grabber as well. Yeah. And for me,
you've got short arms, haven't you? So.
Yeah, and for me, obviously, this won't be required in everyone's dumpster diving kit, but it's a step to stand on to see it into the bin.
Oh, you know what you can get? You can get these little folding plastic steps that fold, collapse together into a flat thing. Have you seen them?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've
never seen that.
I've not got one here now to hand, but I've got one in the house somewhere. And they basically, they fold up. You know, like those plastic crates that fold up and flatten down into nothing?
Yeah.
Well, you can get a step like that and it folds up and flattens down it and it's got a little carry handle on it.
Oh, yeah, that is totally what I need.
Yeah. Try Temu. You'll probably get one on there.
Yeah.
Although it'll probably break anyway.
With my bloody weight, I'll probably stand on it.
That's not what I meant. Just Temu. The shit you get from there.
Yeah.
I've got a comment here on YouTube from Tommy Trades. Free stock and saving from landfill. When setting limits of what you pick up on charity shops or car boot sales, how do you manage this when diving? Do you grab anything and everything or do you be selective?
What I'm actually looking for myself, obviously I've literally been diving like once, but what I'm looking for myself is I'm particularly targeting like the charity shop bins because
okay.
I would like to find like big black bag full of clothes that they've, you know, thrown out because clothing's mainly what I do. And also clothing, I think, emits something like 90 million tons of CO2 emissions. It's like one of the leading, you know, problems, like with it going to landfill and the amount of CO2 it emits. So I personally would like to find, that's my main target, is clothing, which obviously I would just put straight through the wash before I sold it, obviously. And also video games. Yeah, that's like my main things. Again, because I don't sell breakables, so I'm not going to pick them up out the bin either.
Yeah.
But other people like would.
Yeah.
But I'm just not interested in it. So
no, fair enough. There's no use in, you've got limited space, and until that changes, yeah, there's no use in you just picking up everything and anything, is it?
Yeah, no, and I wouldn't anyway, because the only things I'm looking for out the bin is stuff that A, I'm interested in, and B, I would sell. So it would be things like, you know, clothing, video games, that sort of thing. But I'd love to like find in the charity shop bin just a massive black bag of just clothes that they've thrown out that I can go through. That would be like amazing.
Have you got a good relationship with local charity shops, or do you just go in and buy?
I go in and buy. They're not very, I've sort of like said a couple of times, you know, what I do or whatever, and they're almost a bit, they don't really like you for it.
I found generally, unless they, you know, you strike up a bit of a friendship with staff, generally they're not majorly open to resellers, which I think is crazy. I mean,
I do, because
they could sell so much to us.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, because resellers is basically like one of their top customers, essentially. And there's so many deals they could do with resellers and things.
Yeah. Totally.
That, yeah, I find it mad.
Oh, that's a funny face Sophie's pulling at me right now.
Is it?
She's
have I
frozen
again? I have. I'm
give us a minute. I'm sure she'll come back. There she is.
I'm not frozen on mine, though.
Well, I must be freezing on yours, and you're freezing on mine. Never mind.
Yeah, you're mine. Frozen on mine.
Okay. So, I mean, it's crazy that charity shops aren't more friendly to us resellers, because they must be feeling it at the moment. They've put the prices up pretty much across the board, you know, in charity shops. And I think many of us resellers are slowly stopping to buy from charity shops. So they genuinely must be feeling the pinch on sales.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not just resellers they're pricing out, it's the general public as well. I mean, I went into a shop, it's a Link shop, which I, about like 18 months ago, I used to go in there all the time and pick up absolutely loads, and it was really well priced, and it was like my favorite one to go in. And then all of a sudden the prices started going absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And I was in there a few weeks ago, and they had a pair of Levi's 511s on for £25. There was a couple of other like jeans they had on for like £30, £25, you know, all these things. And they were jeans that, to be honest, I would be lucky to get £25 to £30 for.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy, "Who's done this pricing?" And he was like, "Oh, me and my colleague." And he was quite sort of funny. I said, "Well, why have you put this on for £25? You're not going to get £25 for it. It's not even a 501. It's 511. And he went, "Oh, let me look at the label." Looked at it and he went, "Yeah, that wasn't me." And just carried on looking at his phone. so then I just sort of thought, "Oh, whatever." And I just went, "Well, good luck then." And walked out.
See ya.
Yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Just blamed his mate. It could well have been him, and he just went,
"Oh yeah, probably." He didn't want to admit to it.
Yeah, and I kind of said it in the hope that maybe they would go through their stuff, because all of that has been on the rails for weeks and weeks. And I was kind of said it in the hope they would go through it and maybe, you know, be a bit more sensible. Because people as well, like Joe Public, I wouldn't walk into a charity shop and spend £25 to £30 on a pair of jeans.
No.
You know, so I would go to Next or wherever and spend that money on a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think they will be much more sensible about it. But yeah, it is mad.
Pauline on YouTube's got a comment here. She said, ask at the charity shop about the clothes they don't sell because the shop I'm with sell to a rag man.
They do.
It's probably worth you asking a question. You know, if you've got like one that you go in on a regular basis.
Yeah. There's some, I've seen the rag man come into one charity shop and it was like this bin that they were using to put the stuff in, it was like double the size of a dustbin. And they filled it. Like, I mean, granted, I know that sometimes, you know, charity shops do get things that they can't sell, whether that's because it's ripped, holed, broken or whatever. Like people have just dumped it there. Like I do understand that happens. But I think, you know, we're all aware that instead of lowering the prices and selling things for more sensible and actually moving their stock, they don't. So then they do put things in the bin instead.
It is crazy. And yes. Drink and Dive Dumpster Divers here on YouTube said, we caught them emptying the contents of the donation bin straight into the dumpster once. It's disgraceful behaviour and they don't like resellers buying from them. It makes no sense.
Mm.
I've said this before because we've had this conversation before on the podcast and on YouTube in general, but it really is disgraceful that somebody could turn up, donate some items for them to sell and make some money on for their charity, and it never even hit the shelf.
Yeah, and I think as if you saw that, you know, and you were the person that donated that, I think you'd be pretty angry about it and pretty upset about it, which I think is perfectly reasonable as well. Like you've, out of the goodness of your heart, you've given your donation to this charity shop.
Yeah.
Thinking it's going to help someone else and someone else can be able to buy that. And it doesn't even get there.
Yeah. It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's talk about YouTube.
Mm.
So you're on YouTube.
I am. Yes. SB Reselling Co.
Yeah. So how did that get going and why did you decide to do that and how's it going at the minute?
When I think about why I decided to start YouTube, I genuinely don't know. I don't know why I did it now. But I actually really enjoy making videos and putting them up. I think I was so like taken by all these, you know, guys reselling on YouTube that I thought, oh, I want to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a channel as well. But I also like my channel because it's not just for, you know, people to
good
watch.
Job you like your channel. Your bloody channel.
I hate my channel. But no, I like it because it's not just for other people to watch. It's not just creating content for other people. I like to watch back because there's also a lot of memories on there now.
Yeah, totally.
And I can watch these things back and I remember when that happened or remember when that happened. And like, I've got my reselling travel series on there, like when I went to my brother's wedding and everything. So all that is on there as well. So, it's not just for other people. It's also for me too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So that's, you know, why I enjoy it.
Where do you see your channel going, like, this year, sort of, next?
I think,
this year sort of time?
I think I'll get monetized because I'm on 920 subscribers.
Oh, you're
now.
Very close.
And I did actually have the watch hours, but then it kind of dropped off. So I'm on 3,500 odd at the minute. So I need another 500, you know, watch hours. But yeah, I do enjoy. And then again, obviously because of work, sometimes I end up going 10 days, 2 weeks without putting a video on because I haven't been out doing anything. So I've been at work all week. So, but I do really enjoy doing it. And I also kind of see it as flying the flag for female resellers as well.
Okay, yeah.
Showing that, you know, because I do think reselling is actually quite male dominated. And it's quite nice to kind of have my channel to be like, yeah, I'm a female reseller on YouTube too. So, yeah, I kind of see it as flying the flag for female resellers as well.
Fair enough, yeah. So if anyone out there wants to go and check out Sophie's channel, SB Reselling Co., and I'll give you a chance to plug that again at the end. Okay, right. So let's go back to the original sort of topic for the podcast. So you want to quit being a nurse and you want to be a full-time reseller.
Yeah.
So right now, over the next sort of few months, or even the next year, or however long it takes you to get there, how are you going to make it happen? So, you know, are you going to work hard, or, you know, are you going to invest more money into your reselling? How are you going to make this happen?
Yeah, so investing more money into my reselling is the big one, which I have been doing lately as well. I mean, at the same time, I do need to get the shifts in, because I need to get that little nest egg behind me as well.
Yeah.
But I think now, I always knew that I obviously had to put time into it, but I think now for me the pen is really dropped, and I really do need to be on it before work and after work, whether that's like listing or whatever, and just getting more organised. Like, because when I get home from work, it's dark, the lighting in my flat is like really crap. So, you know, before I go to work, if I'm on a late, I need to be taking the photos then, doing sales similars while I'm at work, then listing the new stock when I get home, and not being lazy about it. Not being like, oh, I've been at work though and I'm really tired. Like, not being lazy about it.
If the lighting's bad, get yourself some decent lights.
Yeah, that's the other thing I need to do. But yeah, I just need to really get my head down with it, and not for like a week straight, like consistently. Not be like, oh, I've done really well for like 3 days, I'm going to like not bother for 2 days now.
Well, this is the danger. This is the danger is like, oh, you know, you have a good week of sales, or you've worked hard for a week on listings and you think, oh, I'm going to, you know, take it easy this week, or I'm not going to do as much, or you get lazy or whatever. And it happens to all of us, even, you know, me, I'm full time. I go through many patches of laziness.
Yeah.
But when you do that, you do feel the hurt.
Yeah.
Because if you're not listing new stuff, you know, even sell similar is fine. You know, I do it at the weekends, but if you do that too much, at the end of the day, selling similar on something is basically just putting up something that's already been seen by thousands of people. Yeah. You're putting up the same thing.
Yeah.
As long as you know, reduce the price, change your first photo and stuff like that, and that can help. But the bottom line is that listing a new item is 100 times better than doing a sell similar, because that item has already been seen by people.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. But you just got to put the time into it, and you just got to ask yourself, how much do I want to be a full-time reseller? And if you really want to do it, you're going to just have to take the pain and knuckle down and just do it, Sophie. You got to get your ass into gear. I'm kicking your ass right now.
Yeah.
You got to get your ass into gear and do it. Because if not, then you're just going to carry on like this, which is fine, by the way. If you're happy being part-time nurse, part-time reseller, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that either, you know, because that gives you a bit more security financially anyway.
Yeah.
But if you really want to be full-time reseller, you've got to do it.
And also, actually, what I can do, I could be a full-time reseller but just stay on the bank as long as I do like
one shift. How many do you have to do to stay on it?
I think it's one shift every like 3 to 6 months.
Oh, bloody hell.
So
you could quite easily, could you just do one a week? I think somebody mentioned in the chat before, just take one a week to keep your hand in.
Yeah, I could always do that as well.
I know it's not 100% committing to the reselling, but you don't have to do you. I think that's a mental thing. Like, oh, I want to be 100% committed into reselling, but in reality, I think it's probably sensible to do like one a week or one every 2 weeks, so that you keep your registration and you get a bit of regular money coming in as well. Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
I think that's probably like how I'd end up doing it, is being like, you know, full-time reseller, but doing one shift a week just to keep my registration and keep being on the bank. So then if something did go wrong, I could easily be like, right, I need to go to work this week. And I've got that job already there. I don't need
The thing about reselling is there's a lot of peaks and troughs.
Mm.
And you'll have a good week and a bad week. And if you can try and iron out the peaks and troughs a bit, then that helps you in life a lot.
Yeah.
And the way you iron out peaks and troughs is by having multiple platforms, listing in different categories. And in your case, if you can keep a little bit of a once a week bank going on the, that will help you iron out the peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
And it will make it less painful when eBay's been shit like it has been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. That's my motivational speech for you.
Thank you, Chris. Very much appreciated.
I want to see action, not words.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Right. We're moving into the last bit of our podcast. So I've got three questions for you, Sophie, that I ask every guest.
Yeah.
Are you ready for these?
I'm ready.
Okay. First question for you is, what is your best or most unusual find?
I think my best one was a pair of motorcycle denim, like motorbike trousers.
Okay.
And I bought them for $12.99 and then sold them for $125 on Facebook Marketplace.
That's Facebook Marketplace as well. Wow. Yeah. Was that a charity shop pickup?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah. Did you say they were leather pants?
No, they were like denim, like really heavy denim. So yeah,
interesting.
$125.
Did you buy when you bought those pants? Did you buy them knowing that they were going to be worth over $100, or did you buy them knowing that they were worth something more than what you were going to pay?
I bought them because it was motorcycle stuff, and I know that quite often, motorbike stuff you can get some good money for. And they felt really nice. They looked pretty like modern and quite trendy as well. So I just thought,
it was a fairly safe bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you do find stuff like that.
I knew there'd be some money in them, but I got them home, then obviously looked at them properly. And these particular ones, brand new, they're nearly they're about £350 brand new.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, $125. I got them on Facebook Marketplace.
And that's good. It was a cash purchase as well.
Yeah. Just did it by bank transfer. He paid straight away.
Perfect. Nice. Nice find. Okay. Next one for you. And I might hazard a guess at what this might be, but I'll let you answer it. You might surprise me. What goal have you got for the next year?
Well, hopefully, let's say I can get down to just doing one shift a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's your goal, to be able to just do one shift a week and do the rest of your time.
And all the rest of my time is reselling.
Yeah. I think that's a good goal. And I can't say whether it's achievable or not, because your own personal circumstances and your own finances will dictate that. But, you know, you're heading in the right direction. You know how to resell, you know how to do it, and you've been doing it a while. And there's no reason why that isn't possible other than yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You are right.
Okay. Have you got some words of wisdom or a tip for fellow resellers?
I think tip is just if you're looking to start, just start with stuff around your house. Don't go totally wild, because, to start with, I was watching these, people that are very established resellers, on YouTube, and have the money to spend as well. If you haven't got that money to spend, don't spend it. Don't go totally wild and try and keep up with what you're seeing on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because you're not there yet, sort of thing.
That's a good point.
And just keep plugging. Just keep at it. Just keep going. You're gonna, it is a roller coaster, but you have to ride it, basically.
And isn't there a song in that?
There is. Life is a roller coaster.
I wish I'd not mentioned that.
Ride it all night long.
I can definitely say I'm not getting a copyright strike for that.
Oh, crap. Sorry.
No, I was being sarcastic.
You might have to edit a bit.
No, it's fine. thanks for that. Now, it's a good point, though, about people watching YouTubers and, you know, trying to do the same thing, especially things like buying wholesale clothing and stuff like that, because sometimes you can think, you know, oh, I'll spend £500, you know, at a wholesaler because I've seen someone else. But you've got to make sure that it's the right deal for you and you can afford, your business can afford to have that. And also, especially when you're buying blind,
yeah,
you know, can you afford to lose it is the question.
Yeah.
Because you might lose that money buying blind. It might be a waste of money.
I personally think it's very easy to get sucked into Instagram and YouTube and looking what other people are doing and comparing yourself as well. Don't compare yourself to other people. Just stay on your road and your lane and what you're doing. Like, don't compare yourself to others or let it get you down. Like, oh, well, this person's full time now, or, well, this person makes so much more money than I do. How do they do that? And, you know, don't let it get you. Just stick on your path, your lane, and don't compare yourself and don't, you know, try and think, oh, yeah, well, they bought that, so I'm going to buy that, you know. Don't get sucked in, basically, is what I'm saying.
It's very hard not to compare yourself. And I've been there myself in the past and in the not-too-distant past too, but it's very, very difficult not to fall into that trap.
Mm.
But you do have to tell yourself that you know absolutely zero, nothing about their personal circumstances, what bills they have to pay, you know, how much money they have coming in, what other side hustles they've got going on, you know. I mean, you know nothing.
I know that some people enjoy this. This might sound a little bit controversial. I know that some people enjoy seeing other people's 90-day totals and things, but I physically can't stand it. Not because that person's 90-day total is probably higher than mine. That's not what it's about. It's because it means nothing. It's just bragging. And I just... I like it when people post their sales and things like that, because that's pure evidence. I can see that, you know, but your 90 day total, you know, it means nothing. They might have a 90 day total of, like, I don't know, 30 grand, for example, but they've spent 20, like, getting there. It just means nothing. And, that's one of my big bugbears that people do.
I'm not bothered that people share those numbers, and some people will share even more numbers than that, you know. They will
have
what they've earned in the last month or whatever, you know. Or some people post their Amazon sales and stuff. It doesn't bother me that people post that. I think everyone has the right to post whatever they want, but if you're going to consume that information, then you've got to make sure that you realize it just to give it the weight that it has is in that you can't give it any weight because you don't know what's behind it.
Yeah.
So if you don't like seeing stuff like that, I would say this to anybody, then don't follow the people that post it.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me, but I can totally see everyone's perspective on it. It's very much you either like it or you hate it type situation. I think different people have a different answer for it.
It's a bit of a
and I understand both, because it's so difficult not to start sort of comparing your own journey and reselling to other people's when they post stuff like that. But you're right, you've got to be very careful, because it's a bad trap to fall in. We spoke about it with Married to Reselling a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, how comparison is the thief of joy, and we spoke about it then, and it really is. So but people have the right to post whatever they like about their journey, and sometimes people post stuff like that because they want to document their own sort of way, and like they want to look back in it a year ago. Oh, a year ago, my 90-day total was only £1,000, and now it's £10,000. You know, and that represents progress.
Yeah.
In their business, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. We've done an hour, Sophie. We're pretty much done. Thank you so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate it. It's been a good old chat. It's interesting to see where you're going and what your plans are to go full time. It's a brave decision to sort of leave behind a nursing role. But I wish you all the best, and you know where I am if you need any help.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been lovely chatting with you, Chris.
Do you want to remind everybody watching or listening where they can find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Insta, SB Reselling Co. 22, Facebook, I'm just SB Reselling Co., and YouTube is also SB Reselling Co.
Easy to find then. Same everywhere.
Well, yeah, pretty easy to find.
You're on Whatnot as well, though, aren't you? So
I am on Whatnot, yeah. SB Reselling Co. Yeah.
There's a surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to keep it on brand, I guess.
Yeah.
Right, thank you again. Thank you to everybody watching here on YouTube. I can see all the chat. Thank you so much. And thank you if you are currently listening on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, Alexa, Deezer. What else is there? I don't know what else there is. But thank you if you are listening. And if you feel like just giving us a 5-star rating on your podcast provider, that would be great, because it really does help get this podcast out further and further, which would be nice. And until next time, thanks again, Sophie.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks, everyone. See you later. See you on the next one.
Bye.
That's it for today's episode of the Everything Reselling Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget to like, to follow, or to subscribe wherever you're watching or listening to this podcast. And we'll see you on the next episode.